have the blessings of everyone. If you can kneel, please do so. We're going to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for blessing us and keeping us safe as we slept and letting us all gather again on Sabbath day. Thank you for the forgiveness of sin and cleansing us from unrighteousness and blessing us with the latter rain and the faith, the wisdom, the discernment, the character, everything we need to glorify you. Thank you for the trials that you allow to come upon us to help us get ready for the last days and getting us stronger and stronger. And thank you for letting us be alive in the last days when all these things are happening and giving us plenty of ammunition to share with the people about present truth, because we are indeed at war. And thank you so much for blessing us with your presence, writing on my tongue and any tongue that may speak, so that you alone are glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, we're on question number 5 in, what is it, lesson number 4. Let me change glasses here. All right. And the question is, why is it so important for us to know the vital details about how Jesus will come? And then Matthew 24:24 says, "For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, and so much that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." And then a little note here says, the first chapter of Acts describes how Jesus went back to heaven. Notice the emphasis on the fact that the disciples actually watched him go up while they beheld in verse 9. Their sight, while they looked, gazing, you have seen him go, you know, et cetera, et cetera. They're just giving points of reference in regards to how he left and how he's going to return. And so what I believe the note implies here is that, as stated in Revelation 1, verse 7, where it says, "Behold, he cometh with the clouds, and every eye shall see him," is more or less how it's going to happen. As we can already see, by the way, many false Christs and false prophets already on the earth claiming to be either Jesus himself or a prophet who makes predictions regarding his arrival. I mean, just last year, we saw Harold Camping declare Jesus would return for his people on two specific dates. He, of course, failed, like everybody else before him, proving himself to be the most recent of hundreds, literally hundreds. If you do some research, you'd be surprised how many people have actually made strange predictions. But take the Jehovah's Witnesses, they win it hands down. I mean, they are in the teens, I think, a couple of dozen times, just since the 1915, 16 period. I don't know when they started. I think it was around 1915 that they started making predictions. And at one time, I think, they had like a string of them, like 3 or 4 in a row each year. But yet, people still go to that church. But we, you know, as, you know, for false Christs, well, right now, there are quite a few men claiming to be Jesus Christ right now on the planet. And just to name a few, we've got that Sergei Tarop, who's also known as, the Horseback Jesus from Siberia. His followers call him the Teacher, or Vicerian. And we all know what the Lord said about don't call any man on earth your father. And if you look at the translation of the word father there, it's not just Heavenly Father, it's also speaking of Teacher. And you know, in Matthew 23:9, you know, it's where you see that. And then on December 24th, 1999, it was declared by the BBC that every year in Jerusalem, I couldn't believe this when I saw this, that every year in Jerusalem, there are at least 40,000 people claiming to either be Jesus or some other biblical figure after visiting the city. 40,000. That is insane. But that is overwhelmingly proving the prophecy has been fulfilled. They call it the Jerusalem syndrome. But we can call it Satan's recruitment methods. That's all it really is, you know. Yeah, self-glorification. Amen. Because they get all wrapped up in the moment and stuff. And these are probably the kind of people that go to those mega churches, you know, like the Benny Hinn type churches or the Joel Osteen type churches or Joyce Meyer type churches where they get the people all wrapped up in the Pentecostal fervor, you know, and they start speaking in tongues and they all get caught up in the moment and the rock music is playing and it gets them going. When they go to this, like to the Wailing Wall or whatever, they go into Jerusalem, they get caught up in the moment and have a religious experience. But then you got to understand, what's going to be the favored place for demons on the planet, you know? Well, of course, where a lot of Christians are congregating. So it's open season. I mean, there's like a lot of people walking in Jerusalem like sitting ducks. The demons are just laughing their heads off and just taking over a lot of people. And so, but still, the prophecy said many false Christs will arrive. And then you got the Dalai Lama. He's declared to be a Christ by literally millions of people every day. The Dalai Lama. Even though he dies, the next guy comes in and takes his title. Now he's the Christ. And remember Heaven's Gate cult that thought that the Hale Bopp, we actually videotaped that thing one time when we were living in Illinois, the Hale Bopp comet. But the Heaven's Gate cult actually thought that that comet had a spacecraft behind it that would bring them to heaven. And then one of their children were declared literally to be the reincarnation of Jesus Christ before they all committed suicide. And then we got a guy named Maitreya popping up all over the place to mainly believe that, you know, he's probably one of Satan's favorite methods or pawns, if you will. And they're even using holographic technology with that guy, you know, but it's just weird. And then anyway, Sung Young Moon was coronated as Messiah in Washington, D.C. not too long ago in a public ceremony. I remember talking about that on the radio years ago. And this was in Washington, D.C., United States of America, and it was broadcast live on in some TV stations. It's probably public address television, but I got it on radio, and then it was on the Internet, of course. And then we got that guy, Joseph Lewis, Jose Lewis in Miami. He has literally tens of thousands of people worshiping him as Jesus Christ as we speak. In fact, there's a ministry out there. I forget the name of the ministry at present. We were talking about this the other day, too, that that used to expose the Vatican right along with us, and they still do on their website. They still, you know, expose the Vatican. But right now, on their website, on the, you know, some people have those Google things on the side. Well, this guy doesn't use Google. It's similar to that, like little advertisements on the side of his website as it runs down the, no, it's not Armstrong, but it runs down the side of the blog. It's got advertisements, and there's two or three of them on the right side where it's declaring Jose, this guy Jose in Miami, Jose Lewis, to be Jesus Christ. And this guy used to be one of our numbers. So if you don't stay in the Bible, you know, you're going to fall for it. I mean, even John, the favorite apostle, collapsed in front of an angel, you know. Of course, this was a whole good situation because the angel corrected him. But the fallen angels that are on the planet right now, when you fall in worship before them, they're not going to correct you. And so, yes, we most certainly do need to study our Bibles daily as well as all the details surrounding the return of Christ. In fact, and by the way, you don't have to be, like I say many times before, you don't have to be a Bible-thumping theologian. You don't have to understand all the prophetic statements that are in Scripture. I don't, and I don't know anybody that does. But because we know about 1 Corinthians 10:13, if you're honestly trying your best to, hold on. Oh man. If you're honestly trying your best to, you know, learn of the Lord, follow the Lord, and walk with Him, then, He's not going to allow you to be tempted in areas that you're going to fall. He knows His child is trying their best. And so certain areas of the prophecies or certain areas of the Scriptures that you haven't gotten to yet, but because He knows your heart, that you're going to do the best, that you're doing the best you can, He's not going to let, the devil ain't going to get permission in that area. I mean, we know what 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, so don't worry about it. And And by the way, the false doctors of the secret rapture, the 7-year trib, the 1,000 years of peace on earth, these are all methods by which people are being lured into accepting these false Christs, because these false doctrines literally twist what's happening, what's going to be happening actually at the second coming. And so if they start believing all this falderal, all this weird, or even just believing that Israel is the chosen nation, when they overwhelmingly deny, in other words, if they believe a lie that's easily researched in scripture, and they have been tested in that respect, well, then they're asking for it. You know, if you're going to believe Satan's lies above God's truth, then there's nothing that the Lord can do. Hold on. Hello. I'm right in the middle of church. Yeah, I said you didn't have to call back. All right, yeah, I just wanted to make sure everything was okay. All right. Okay, bye. Okay. All right. I'm all alone here. That's why I got the cell phone running. So, anyway. So, again, Bible study is very important. Without it, people that were at one time thought to be very knowledgeable in the Word of God are right now accepting mere men as Jesus Christ incarnate. I mean, we see it happening all the time right now. So this is a prophecy we see happening in our day right now. And that's why Jesus said it's so important to know the vital details of his second coming. That way, when they come up to you and say there's going to be a secret rapture, the Bible simply doesn't say that. But if you believe it because they're saying it, rather than investigating it like a Berean would do, then you're going to fall for just about anything. In other words, if you don't stand for the truth, you're going to fall for fall for the lies. And that's why I did that one page on the website about the rapture, what they call the rapture. I mean, there's no such verse in the Bible about the rapture. I mean, there is a quote-unquote rapture, but it's not going to be a secret. There's not going to be a 3.5 or a 7-year trade period before or after. And it's definitely not the catching up of a bunch of people invisibly. You know, if all of a sudden you're standing next to some Christian and all of a sudden his clothing hits the ground and he's gone. You know, like on that Rapture movie where all the people are on the airplane or something like that. And all of a sudden there's just clothing laying there. None of that's true. But, the only people that believe that are the people that don't study Bibles. They only listen to preachers. Because if they study the Bible, they would find out that it just doesn't exist. And like I said, that's why I did that rapture page. There's a lot of Bible verses that talk about the second coming of Christ. And none of those verses that I share on that page are shared on pulpits where they preach secret rapture. Because if they did, they would confuse their people, because those verses overwhelmingly prove their theory about the secret rapture is a lie. All right, next one is number 6. It says, what were they then told about the manner in which he will return? And that's Acts chapter 1, verse 11. And it says, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why standing ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Isn't that amazing and quite to the point? Modern Christianity has lost their faith in what happened on this day 2,000 years ago. They've become so lukewarm that they simply cannot believe Jesus floated up right in front of the apostles and a cloud covered his entry into glory. So the lies of a secret rapture that many churches preach today, or Jesus appearing in the desert as Benny Hinn has actually announced a few years ago, I got the audio clips on the website, or Jesus appearing in the inner rooms or secret chambers as TBN declared not too long ago, which also Benny Hinn did as well. Actually, Benny Hinn is actually stating that Jesus is showing up to Muslims now. And these are all graphic evidence that today's Christians simply don't read or at least trust their Bibles. And Jesus even said they will lie and say he's in the desert or secret chambers in Matthew 24:26, and we should believe them not. If the many Christians of today that are trapped in these false churches would simply trust the Bible, none of this would be a problem. But because Antichrist has moved into every denomination, including the SDA Church, to preach error, and hundreds of new Bibles have been written with thousands of verses missing, most people are unaware of the danger that they're in. For example, a lot of people find this hard to believe. Take Ellen White's writings, for example. If you got the most recent CD or DVD of it, you'll find they're using, I think it was like 38 or 39 times, they've taken the King James out and put in NIV scripture. Well, verses. I don't really consider it scripture. And the NIV church itself is using, the SDA church itself is using the NIV on a regular basis now and proclaiming it to be the most accurate Bible. And the only reason they do that is because the preachers that say that are either Jesuits themselves or in cahoots with them. And no, I'm not making that statement just to get people's blood up and to get people angry that may be listening on the radio that are SDA. This is fact. Because the Roman Catholic Church was instrumental in writing the NIV in 1978 in Palos Heights, Illinois. And the only reason I know that is because I lived in Palos Hills, Illinois in 78. And so it was the next town over that they were having these big meetings. And if you look at all the verses that, in other words, I got a page on the website called Bogus Bibles. And on there, I only show like maybe a few hundred verses that have been removed. There's been thousands. But on that page, if you start at the top, work your way down to the Bible, down to the bottom, you'll see that the Bible has certain verses, the NIV Bibles and the NASB Bible I also exposed to. They took out specific verses and rewrote specific verses so that a seven-year trib or secret rapture or eternal life in hellfire or all these strange Roman Catholic doctrines will appear valid. But here's one of the neat things. The elect cannot be deceived. And this is also that one study I started a while ago, but I haven't really gotten really into it yet. There is a friend in the ministry that's doing it right now, calling, there's a lot of scriptures, a lot of prophecies in the Old Testament that talk about the defiled bread. And yeah, bread is scripture and prophecy. And defiled, well, that's obvious. They tore into it. They messed it up. But the King James is the only one that's going to be saved. So this is where we come in when it comes about in regards to the people that have these bogus Bibles that don't really know what's going on. The loud cry that we are prophesied to proclaim is going to awaken literally hundreds of millions, if not billions, out of their drunken spiritual stupor. And this is why it's so important we study the Word. Not only does the plain truth being outlined within it prepare us for the day, as well as equip us with the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, according to Ephesians 6:11, we are also well equipped enough to share our faith with those that the Lord's going to send your way. And don't think for a moment you being shy or introvert will prevent the Holy Spirit from using you. It's going to happen if you are obedient to the Lord. So, as 2 Timothy 2, verses 15 and 16 says, we need to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, but shun profane and vain babblings, like you hear from all the TV preachers and the Sunday-keeping preachers, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And so there's another reason to steer clear of these guys, because, you know, having bogus Bibles in their hands, it's like the other prophecy says, they hold the truth in unrighteousness. Yeah, and so they mix it all up, get it all intertwined with error, or trample the truth underfoot, and make it that much more opportunistic for Satan to lure you away from the truth. And, of course, that's their plan. But that's not their plan, of course. We're not fighting against flesh and bone. We're fighting against principalities and powers of the air. So when somebody comes against you, like the attack we had last night in the room while we were having church, or on the street, or people just out and out hate you because of your faith, just don't let it bother you. I mean, it's not the people doing it. Okay, that's what your eyeballs will tell you. But scripturally speaking, we're not fighting against them, because the bottom line, the brass tacks is this. If they knew what you know, they'd be standing right next to you while you're getting attacked, and be involved in the attack with you. You know, see, that's the difference. If they knew the truth like you do, every human being, it's easy enough to get them to embrace it once the Lord opens their eyes to it, you know. They're going to embrace, you know. So anyway, when the Lord sends you to those that are seeking the truth that we preach. You're always going to be ready always. If you study the Word, you're going to be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. That's, of course, 1 Peter 3:15. And that's one of the neat things, too, that especially in our day, we're going to start seeing this happening on a regular basis because it's getting so nutty out there. It's getting so crazy. There are seekers. These are genuine people. They're the only people that I can think of at this point in time that actually ride the fence, because you've got people that are just bone evil walking around like, you know, walking retrobates, or as they say in on death row, walking dead man, you know. You got people that just don't care, don't want to hear it, and going to hell in a handbasket. And they're extremely evil. The things they do are evil, and everybody knows they're evil, and they're just disgusting. And then on the other toss of the coin, you got people like us that are trying to walk the best we can, glorify Christ in every opportunity that we can. And it's going to get a lot better than this because, you know, right now, none of us are really doing as good a job as we should be or could be. And so, and then you get those people in the middle that are looking at how bad the world is on their lips, you know, looking at all the wicked people, and then they're seeing us totally night and day. And they're going to come up to you, want to know about the hope that is in you. Because think about it, when it really starts getting bad, I mean, 2011 kind of proved this hands down when it came to how bad the calamities can get. And the weird thing is it's nowhere near as bad as it's going to get. So yeah, 2011 had the worst in the USA, of course, because the judgment's upon this country for all the evils that we do. But it's getting so bad that people are starting to recognize it's getting bad out there. And you got people that don't trust Christ, for example, popping Prozac, scared out of their wits, paranoid, or doing all sorts of strange things in life because they just can't handle what's going on, or committing suicide left and right, whatever. You know, you can tell the fear in the general population. You can smell it, literally, okay? But then you got this group of people like us. We're living on the same planet. We see the same signs. We see the same problems. We have the same problems. But we go through the trials with the smiles. And this is why Peter said that we'll know what to answer. We're going to be ready always, if we study the Word, of course, to give them the answer when they ask you for that reason you're smiling. How can you be happy in the midst of all this? Because they're in the midst of it with you. And they're trying to figure out why is it you can... That's what got me, by the way. That's what got me to become a Christian. Like 27 years ago, next month, when I saw my brother-in-law, I was looking at some time behind bars. He's looking at some time behind bars. Okay, he did something. He was a dope pusher, you know, drug pusher, biker, and all that stuff. I just did something stupid. I didn't, you know, get into. I was more into corporate things. You know, I was an idiot, and I got caught. And so I'm looking at time behind bars, possibly, and he's looking at time behind bars. But it didn't seem to bother him. He was happy all the time. And here I am, you know, thinking the worst, worrying about every little thing, constantly thinking about where I'm headed, going to court every month or every 2 weeks or 3 weeks, and I couldn't figure out why it wasn't bothering him until I found out he was a Christian. And so I kept watching him, and I wanted to know about that hope that he had in him. And this is what they're going to be looking at us for. I mean, I saw this firsthand with my own eyeballs, and so I know for a fact that when it gets crazier out there, there's going to be people coming up to us wanting to know, look, you're going through the same stuff I am, and you're happy as a lark. What's up with that? And then you got that opportunity. Amen. Be ready to give an account. Okay, number 7 is, it says, how many people will see Jesus coming? Revelation 1, verse 7. And it says, and thank you again, Brother Gorin. He's always got them right there. So, the scripture that I says that God won't allow Satan to tempt you above that which you are able is 1 Corinthians 10:13. Okay, that's 1 Corinthians 10:13. So that one's going to bless all of us, especially during the times of trials that are coming. Anyway, Revelation 1, verse 7 says, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, Amen. And notice that one part there, by the way, everyone also which pierced him. I'll get back to that in a minute. But anyway, this passage alone shows how easy it is to identify those that study the Word of God and those that only study their pastors. I mean, Harold Camping is a good example. Literally, billions of people the world over will be told that Jesus is in the desert or in the secret chambers. And because their pastors never taught them prophecy or simple prophetic doctrine, basic 101 stuff, you know, or even simple prophetic understanding, they rush to see whom they believe to be Jesus when in fact it's Satan incarnate. Well, they will easily be taken by this fallen angel because of the simple biblical jurisprudence that states in Hosea 4 verse 6, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. And seeing that thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. Jesus clearly warns them in Matthew 24 verses 26 to 27, which brings us directly into question number 8, which says, how easy will it be to see him? And it's what, verse 27, but I'm going to read 26 along where it says, wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he's in the desert, go not forth, behold, he's in the secret chambers, believe it not. Right? Am I on 8 here, 24, 27? So anyway, Jesus tells them not to, now here's the key. Okay, let me read the whole thing here. Yeah, there it is, verse 20. Oh yeah, I'm going to, yeah, okay. Anyway, after Jesus tells them not to go into the deserts to see that false Christ or into the secret chambers, he explains why in verse 27, which says, for as lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Now, does this not reflect the same truths that Revelation 1 verse 7 just shared a minute ago? Just as every eye can see the lightning that flashes from east to west, so will every eye see him when he splits the eastern sky. But they keep saying there's this secret rapture thing, right? And the thing that I like about it is Jesus says, go not forth and believe it, you know, just believe it not, right? He doesn't have to explain why. He doesn't have to say, well, do you remember what happened to John in Revelation 19:10? He got in the presence of an angel. Okay, granted, it's a good angel, but still he got in the presence of an angel. He collapses and he falls in worship of that angel. The angel, of course, corrected him. But Satan's not going to do that. You fall in love. If you get in front, and here, think about this. John is the most beloved apostle, you know, the one that Jesus loved. He's his favorite. He's the one that took care of Jesus' mother while Jesus was dying on the cross. He asked him to take care of his mom, and he did. So this guy's got some, I mean, he's in tune a lot more so than many of the other apostles, even Peter. But yet he collapses in front of the angel. And then here, these people that are in the world that, you know, maybe read the Bible once a week or once a month or once in their lifetime or something like that, they think they got the strength to be able to not, you know, fall in worship when an angel stands in front of them, especially in the world today. I mean, this guy is going to stand in front of you, even if he doesn't glow in the dark and have all these weird spears of light coming off of him, you know, spinning around and touching people, even if he doesn't do something like that, he's going to use the mental abilities that he has to just make you collapse, and you're going to fall in worship, and all of a sudden you're going to be healed of whatever disease you had, or you're going to have crystal clarity when you're thinking, or whatever. You know, you'll take your glasses off and say, oh, I can see it's clear day, you know, whatever. Jesus simply said, go not forth, or believe it not. He doesn't have to go and tell you all the little details. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, and he says, go not, okay, you don't have to finish the sentence, Lord. If you say, don't go, that's all I need to hear. That's what he's going for here, simple obedience. And if you read the word, you'll know that he wasn't kidding not to go there. So do we got time for one more? I think so. All right, number 9. Who will come with Jesus? Matthew 25:31. It says, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, Then shall he sit upon the throne of glory. You know, this is one of the reasons his coming is going to appear at first to be like a cloud in the heavens. There's going to be so many angels accompanying our Lord on his journey to this earth to take his bride that from a distance it will look like a cloud. You know, I've always wondered who would be the first to sight him in their telescopes, but knowing the government leaders and how evil they are, I have no doubt many of them already have observatories trained on the Orion Nebula on a regular basis right now. I mean, if he's going to come out of that nebula, I mean, that's where the city of heaven is. It's in the book of Job. It's pretty plain. But even when he comes out of there, the people of God, I would imagine, are also, you know, amateur astronomers. I'm thinking right now, I'm getting this overwhelming urge to buy a telescope. And I just was looking online recently, and you can get a really nice one, like a refractor telescope for a whopping $50, a tabletop one. That'll do the trick. It'll show the rings of Saturn and everything. And if you want to, you know, I want to concentrate on the nebula. You know, just look at the sword in Orion's belt. That's where our Lord is. Anyway, these corrupt leaders know all about our God and how he has protected his people throughout the ages. This is why they allow Satan to do as he does, because they follow Satan. And so they follow Satan's lead in order to try to make Christians fearful because they worship the devil. And they want to delay his coming, the Lord's coming, for as long as possible. They actually believe. And I've always thought this back many, many years ago, and I thank one of you for helping me confirm this truth the other day, because I was wondering if it was in someone else's writings, you know. But they actually believe, due to Satan's lies, that if they can get every soul on earth to bow to Satan, Jesus won't have a reason to come back. Okay, so for some odd reason, they forget about all the people that are in the graves that didn't bow. But, in the Gideon band, but see, they don't know about that. They're just thinking they can get rid of at least the Gideon band, kill them off if they can't turn them around. So, and I only think this because of what I saw happen in the desert after Jesus fasted for 40 days. Satan is so arrogant. I honestly believe he's not going to have any trouble whatsoever thinking that he can actually defeat Christ. Would he not carry that same arrogance to the end of time as well? I mean, he was arrogant enough to make to actually think that he can get Jesus to eat the bread, you know, turn the stones into bread, and he can actually get Jesus to jump off the precipice or even bow to him. Yeah, he actually believes his own lies. And could this be why we see the death penalty upon those that refuse to bow to his demands during the buy and sell portion of the Mark of the Beast enforcement? You know, Satan knows the remaining Christians are going to be strong enough, and they will not bow to his demands. So I'm kind of figuring, you know, just assuming, but then I did, you know, discover it's valid when I'm thinking here, that he's going to decide to kill them off to get every soul on earth that's left alive to be in his camp. I mean, would this not give him the chance to rule earth supreme? Thereby thinking he could prevent Jesus from returning, so. Amen, yeah, good point there, brother. You know, Satan is the greatest positive thinker. You know, he is, and he's the ultimate when it comes to self-deception. I mean, that is overwhelmingly apparent. And when you think about it, that's the only way they can really explain him being super intelligent, but at the same time, overwhelmingly, astronomically stupid. I mean, you can't even put it into words how stupid he is. But at the same time, he's got these abilities because he's supernatural. But whoop-de-doo, how good is that going to, you know, fare when Jesus comes back? So anyway, I hope and pray you were blessed. Be back in a minute.